All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories, the assembled devotees.
All glories to Sri Guru Indoranga Shlomopadhyaya. Om Maganati Vrandasya Vranjana Svaya Chapsuran Medikam Vrindasmai Sri Vrindasmai Maha. So I offer my respectful obeisances and the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torch of that knowledge while I was blinded without this ignorance. So we're going to continue with our discussion of the Brahma Samhita. And then just to bring us up to speed, so to speak, last week we just basically spent most of our time on the first verse of the Brahma Samhita, the fifth chapter. Iswara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anadhyaradhyaya Govinda Sarva Karana Karana. And now we're going to start talking about where Krishna lives, his abode, his home. So one of the reasons that I joined the Krishna Consciousness Movement is because I was looking for a scientific explanation of who God is, where he lives, what he does. And that scientific explanation was not forthcoming in any other spiritual group, religion, or anywhere else. It was all very vague. You know, you got to believe in God, that's enough. But who is God? What happens at the time of death? How do we reach God? What do you do when you go back to God? Well, nobody knows. Well, somebody does know. And that somebody, or those some ones, they are Krishna's pure devotees who would have the spiritual abode revealed to them. Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilar Chanaina Shantak Siddhaiva Vidyeshu Vilokiyanti Yam Shama Shandrama Chuchikuna Siddhaiva Govinda Adipurasham Tamaham Vajani. That's one of the verses. Boy, we're not going to find that verse right now, except saying that those who have purity in their hearts have their eyes tinged with the salve of love of God, and they can see these things directly. Prachaksha Bhagavam Dhanam. Chuchakam Kartamagam. That's Bhagavad Gita. So they can actually directly perceive. So we accept what they say. And of course, one of the best persons to approach for knowledge is Lord Brahma. Because he was here before any of us were here. He is the first created being. By creation, I mean his body was created. His soul is eternal. The soul was never created. The body is sometimes created and destroyed, but the soul is never created or destroyed. So, but he was the first person placed within the universe. This universe, there's many other universes. Each and every one has a Lord Brahma. Brahma means the greatest person. And our Lord Brahma has how many heads?
Four.
You know how many heads other Lord Brahmas have? A lot of heads. You know, sometimes thousands and millions of heads. How do you fit all those heads? I mean, I can hardly figure out how to fit four heads on the shoulder. I mean, as you get older, it's hard to keep you one head on the shoulder without having neck pain. So, because universes exist in multi-dimensional space. We're just accustomed to our, you know, three dimensions here, maybe a little bit of the fourth dimension, moving in time. But there's many more dimensions than that. Parallel universe. I'm sure those of you who are scientists have heard about these things. You know, parallel universe and things like that. Anyway, there's many universes, and each and every universe has the main presiding person in charge after Vishnu, who is Lord Brahma. So Lord Brahma gives us his opinion on who Krishna is, where he lives, because he sees these things directly after meditating and achieving perfection in meditation. So just a little bit about this Iswara Parama Krishna. That's the first verse in the fifth chapter of the Brahma Samhita. That's called a Prabhasa verse, Paribhasa verse, which means it defines, according to the Acharyas, it defines the words, the definitions of the person we're going to be talking about. So it gives us a definition of Krishna. Now, after that verse, of course, just one other thing I wanted to mention. In the In the Bhagavatam, there's also a Parivasa verse, which defines Krishna. Does anyone think of what that verse would be? What? Hey, how did you know that?
Just guessed it.
You are a genius. You win the award. A trip to India at your own expense. So, yes, that's true. Ajay Chansa Kalapum Sa Krishna is to Bhagavan Swayam. That's called the Parivasa verse. The great Acharya Jiva Goswami, who is one of the greatest erudite scholars of all time, gives that definition. So it defines who Krishna is. Krishna is what? The source of all the incarnations. All the incarnations are portions or plenary portions of Krishna. So that's Ishvara Parama Krishna, which we talked about last week. And now we're going to go on talking about the abode of Krishna. Actually, Krishna has an abode in this world, which is called what? Vrindavan Gokula. And Goloka is Krishna's abode in the spiritual world. And they're actually the same. Exactly the same. I mean, there's some little differences in the pastimes. But you cannot perceive, or at least most of us cannot perceive right now, how the spiritual world is manifest in this material world in Braj. Because Braj is covered with a thin layer of Yogamaya. There's that word again. Yogamaya is the good Maya. That means the Maya who keeps the devotees engaged in Krishna's service. And Mahamaya, she's also good, but the results of her are not so good. She keeps the non-devotees engaged in Krishna's service too. Indirectly, just like the jailer in the prison warden, we have someone here who used to work in the prison system, keeps the prisoners engaged. You know, making license plates, building the roads and things like that, chain gangs. So, Mahamaya is the chain gang leader, keeping the material world going. So, although Krishna's abode becomes manifest in this world, in Braj, we don't see it because we don't have eyes that are qualified to see it. But still, that's the same as the abode in the spiritual world. And there's the story of Gopakumar, the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, who experienced the non-dual nature of both of these abodes. So, we'll read a little bit, just the translation at this point, from this particular slide. The abode of Krishna, the Dham of Krishna, is called Gokula, and that's the supreme abode. It's the center of a lotus with 1,000 petals, shaped like a lotus with 1,000 petals, and it's sustained by a portion of the spiritual energy of Baladev. Baladev is Balaram. And in this, as far as Lord Vishnu is concerned, he manifests himself as Anantashesh. And Balaram is always serving Krishna in different ways. When Lord Ram appeared, how did Baladev appear? As Lakshman. And so when Narayan appears, how does Baladev appear? Anantashesh. Very nice. So Baladev is always serving Krishna as part of his paraphernalia. This temple is actually considered an expansion of Baladev, or Anantashesh. So Ananta manifests the spiritual, or Baladev manifests the spiritual world where Krishna has his pastimes. And this is a yantra with different symbols that actually symbolizes and summarizes the spiritual world. This is the Goloka yantra. So if any of you want to get a copy of this, you can order it from India. A copy of the Goloka yantra. Many devotees keep that on their walls. So this is a little bit of a technical description. This Gokula is surrounded by a square area called Svetadvip or Goloka. Svetadvip means a white island. This is divided into four parts, which are the abodes of Krishna's expansions known as the four Vishnus. Vasudev, Sankarshan, Prajuna, and Aniruddha. They got it actually. Prajuna and Aniruddha. So these expansions also occur with Krishna. Like when Lord Ram appeared, he appeared with Lakshmi. But then where is
Prajuna and Anuruddha. What? Bharat and Shatrughna.
That's called the Chaturvyuha,
the four expansions that always appear with the Lord. And all these four expansions, they have different planets. You know, there's the Vasudeva Sanatana Prajuna and Buddha, and then there's the second Chaturvyuha, the third Chaturvyuha. We're getting a little technical. And they have different planets in the spiritual world. There's unlimited planets in the spiritual world. Lord Ram has his planet in the spiritual world. All the human incarnations or expansions of the Lord have their planets in the spiritual world. Prabhupada said, explain to us that the non-human forms don't have planets in the spiritual world. Although they're eternal, because they're continually manifesting themselves even in this world, like Lord Narsingadeva, he's manifesting himself in some universe at this particular juncture, and in some universe, he's destroying Hiranyakashipu, Tamubringam, like an insect. In another universe, he's patting Prahlad Maharaj on the head and licking Prahlad Maharaj. And so, these incarnations are eternal, but the human forms of the Lord, like Ram and Vaman, they have planets in the spiritual world. So those devotees worship, they go back to specific planets in tune with the Lord that they are worshiping. Whatever your mood is, that's a symptom of ecstasy. It's called a bhava. It's called Yavachari Bhava, she's considered. She's trying to hold that herself. So whatever mood you're worshiping the Lord in. For example, there was one devotee who was the brother of Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. His name was Anupama. And his mood was to worship Lord Ram. And he was tested by his brothers. His brother said, just worship Krishna, just chant Hare Krishna, Prabhu. You know, Lord Ram, he's an expansion. Ete Chamsa, Kalapusa, Krishna, Stu Bhagavan, Swayam. So he tried, but he was crying all night long. He couldn't give up the dedication to his particular Krishna Deva. It's a Devata. He couldn't give it up. And his brothers were very pleased. So we all are attracted to a particular incarnation of the Lord or a particular mood within that incarnation of the Lord. And all the incarnations other than Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they're worshipped in the mood of awe and reverence. In other words, you don't go up to Lord Vishnu and say, hi buddy. That would be quite dangerous if you did that. Lord Vishnu has moved. All you can do with Lord Vishnu is, my dear Lord Vishnu, you are so great, you are so wonderful, let me serve you. But with Krishna, you can not only go up and say hi, buddy, to him, put your arm around him, you can say, would you like to wrestle? Can you imagine being our Lord Vishnu? Would you like to wrestle, Lord Vishnu? But with Krishna, you could wrestle, you get angry with him, and chastise him when he doesn't show up on time. That's what the gopis do that. When Krishna doesn't show up on time, they just take a stick and, you know, they tie him to a tree, and their mother Yashoda ties him up to grinding mortar. See, you can do that with Krishna. But the other abodes, they're nice too. So there was Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya also had an associate named Murari Gupta, who was Hanuman in Ram's pastimes. And Lord Chaitanya tested him also, and he was dedicated. Lord Chaitanya said, those people who are gloriously dedicated to their master, that is wonderful. He was extolling the wonderfulness of the dedication and the chastity, and also the dedication of the master to the servant. So these are all different spiritual planets. But Goloka Vrindavan is the topmost spiritual planet. This is the world or the universe, as we know it, that's explored by scientists with their radio telescopes, and they think they can understand everything going on just by the shifts of the wavelengths. I think some of you understand what I'm talking about. The light and the energy, the radiation, and we have dark energy, dark matter, like that. So they come up with so many theories, and many of these understandings are getting there, but they can never understand the spiritual world. Because
It's a separate world. It's a dimension. They cannot measure it. Why can't they measure it? Because they don't have the right instruments. The spiritual world can be perceived and measured by consciousness, by pure consciousness. Even in science, if you don't have the right instruments, you can't measure a particular thing. For example, let's say you have radiation. I worked, before I joined the Hare Krishna movement, I worked with atom bombs. So when I worked, I worked with atomic energy. So, because I was a physicist. So when I worked with that, I had to have a dosimeter in my pocket and a piece of photographic film hanging from my chest.
Has anyone ever worked with atomic energy before?
Yeah, so you know what I'm talking about. And so the dosimeter mentioned how much dosage I was getting, you know, cumulative dosage I was getting from, you know, radiation. And the photographic film measured the particles that were hitting it. Anyway, and then after a while, I got too much, well, the curtains. So, but what if I took a scale to measure radiation? Would that work? You say, well, I'm not going to wear a dosimeter today. I'm just going to bring my bathroom scale out. That's stupid. Bathroom scale? I would lose my job immediately. So you have to have the right instrument to measure the right thing. But scientists have the wrong instrument to measure something they're not even aware that exists. They think that many people, especially material scientists, not all scientists, think that consciousness is an epiphenomena of matter. That's a fancy word. Epiphenomena means it comes from combining certain things. And if we combine certain things in a certain way, we come up with a computer, we're going to come with a singularity. Anyone's heard of the singularity? We're going to have a computer that's as intelligent and thoughtful and emotional as me. Can you imagine a computer crying? Computer makes me cry sometimes. Can you imagine that? Tears coming from your computer. It's short the circuits out there. In spite of all the science fiction films you see, computers do not and will not have feelings. Because consciousness comes from another realm, comes from the soul. So anyway, there's two separate worlds that can't be perceived through these instruments. So how do you perceive it, and how do you communicate between the two worlds? I mean, what do? You get your mobile phone, you know, sometimes I joke with devotees, and I say, when I die, make sure there's an internet connection in my tomb. So I can keep communicating with you. You know, it has to be high speed, you can do this thing, 5 gigabits. But that's not going to work, because that's not the means of communication between the worlds. So the means of communicating between the worlds is mentioned, between the spiritual world and the material world, and there's the spiritual world. And the material world, we have time, and we have karma, and all these other things. The spiritual world, they don't. And in the material world, we have the property, which is the unmanifest stage of the material energy. We have all these different aspects. But the way of communicating, the way of communicating is called through sound vibration. Sound vibration. That's what we have in the Vedic system, shabda pramana. Shabda means sound, or the evidence of sound. And Lord Brahma transmits that, he's the intermediary in this Brahma Samhita, through sound mantra. And through sound mantra, the spiritual world enters the material world. Through sound vibration. Through spiritual sound, like Hare Krishna or Om. Does anyone know what Om means? No.
Om, Om, Om.
A-U-M. Means Krishna, Radha Krishna, and the living entity. It's the same as Hare Krishna. Krishna says in the Gita, Pranava Sarva Vedeshu, Shabdake Purushabhanushu. He says, I am the Om, the Pranava. Pranava is the sound. in the Vedic literatures. And each and every mantra in the original Vedas, let's say the Rig Veda starts with Om, like Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padapasanti Yat Surya Yaha. So everyone, even when they're doing ritualistic ceremonies, is chanting Hare Krishna. Interesting, isn't it? So that's what Om means. And this Om comes from the spiritual. But, here's a big but for you, that this Om cannot be pronounced simply by moving your mouth and tongue. It has to descend, like Hare Krishna, has to descend through a disciplined succession. You can't just read and say, oh, good, Om, 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 Om. You have to hear it from someone who transmits it. Like Prabhupada said, it has to be heard from the lips of a pure devotee. And then it has a spiritual effect. You have to, in other words, you have to have a type of initiation. We're not talking about sitting in a fire sacrifice and saying swaha or anything like that. But hearing is an initiation. Initiation, in this sense, it means to begin. Just like before I took up Krishna consciousness, I heard the Hare Krishna mantra from Prabhupada. I was listening to the radio to try to hear some mundane songs. Because I didn't know any better. Listening for some Beatles songs or so. Whatever song. And then all of a sudden I heard, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And then, whew, my life changed. It was like, Brahmanda Brahmate, Konna Bhagyuanji, Guru Krishna Prasadagai Bhagyuanji. The creeper of devotion was planted in my heart. So that descended. I did chant Om before that, but it didn't have any effect. But as soon as I heard the Hare Krishna mantra from Srila Prabhupada, then that was initiation. That's initiation, actually, to hear the sound vibration. So that's how the spiritual world and the material world are connected through that thread of sound vibration. And so the spiritual sound, this is a very important point, is non-different. Nama Chintanana. Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. Purna Shuddha Nichimukta Vinatvam Namanamanda. You know that verse. That Krishna's name is Chintamani. Chintamani is like a beautiful stone, spiritual jewel, a desire tree. You know what a desire thing is? Just like some of you may be familiar with a touchstone. You know what a touchstone is? A touchstone is a stone that can turn anything to gold. Once upon a time, there's a story I learned when I was young, it was Mr. Midas. And he turned everything to gold, his wife to gold, everybody. His wife didn't argue with him after that, but he didn't really like it. But and then in the Vedic history of Sanatana Goswami, we have a story about a touchstone too. Once upon a time, there was a devotee who was worshiping Lord Shiva. And he said, after he saw Lord Shiva, I want to turn everything to gold. And so Lord Shiva said, well, there's a touchstone, go see Sanatana Goswami in Vrindavan. So this gentleman, he went to see Sanatana Goswami. He said, Sanatana Goswami, where is that touchstone? And Sanatana Goswami said, it's in my garbage. And the guy was thinking, what? I knew sannyasis weren't so adept in this material world. So he went to the garbage, took out the touchstone. This is ecstasy. Turning everything to gold. Everything he saw, you know, wow, fantastic. And then what happened? He came to the realization that it wasn't giving him happiness, and the sage, Sanatana Goswami, had something else. So he went to Sanatana Goswami, and he said to him, you must have something better than this gold. And Sanatana Goswami said, you want, yeah, if you want to find out, you've got to throw the touchstone away. So the poor guy was having a traumatic fit, you know. His hand was like in spasms, you know. He said, should I? Oh, no! And then he closed his eyes and he threw it into the Yamuna River. And Sanatana Goswami initiated him in the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So that's Chintamani. Nama Chintamani. Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, the full form of Krishna. Rasa, the taste, vigraha, the form, is there in that mantra, Hare Krishna. That's why we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I mean, everything's there. Spiritual world, material world, Krishna. Krishna's dancing with the gopis. Wow. It's just a question of realizing it. Anyway. So, that's the spiritual sound. Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigra. Purnat, it is complete. Shuddha, it is pure. Nitya Mukto, it is ever liberated. Vinatvam Namanamino, it is non-different from Krishna. So, material sound is different from the object. If I want money, just like we're trying to build a temple, and I say money, 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 money.
Money, 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 money.
Doesn't do me any good, right? Even if I use the word logical, I'm still wearing a torn dhoti. So instead, we chant Krishna, and Krishna's there. Vinatvam Namanamana, it's non-different than Krishna. It is so wonderful, the spiritual sound vibration. Like Vrindavan, any of these spiritual vibrations, Ram, you chant Ram, Ram, even though he didn't know what Valmiki in the beginning was chanting Ram, Ram, meaning Mara, Mara. And Ram was there. Pretty wonderful, isn't it? Simple process. But people want to make things so complicated. I was listening to a class where Prabhupada said people want to make so things so complicated, they want to take yoga where they touch this nose. Not this nose, the only one. Where they touch their nose with their foot. And everybody makes it so complicated. You chant the holy names, and we have such a nice philosophy. If you're interested in very elaborate philosophy, and we have that too. So that's Krishna consciousness. But material chants will not get you anywhere. So this is a little bit technical, and I base this on those of you who are into yoga might be interested in this because it has something to do with the chakras. I'm not going to go over all these things, but here's the chakras for you. So there's a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. I base this on the verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11:21:36, which is Shabda Brahma Sudhuru Bodham Pranendriya Manomayam Anantaparam Gambiram Vurvigayam Samudrabhat. The transcendental sound of the Vedas is very difficult to comprehend and manifest on different levels within the prana, senses, and mind. In other words, transcendental sound doesn't only affect the soul, it transforms the body, the different aspects of the body, and the senses. And the life airs, prana's life airs. So this is mentioned. This Vedic sound is unlimited, very deep and unfathomable, just like the ocean. So each phase of Vedic sound affects a different chakra in the body. Now, I'm not advising you to do chakra meditation here, but just to give you an idea. And this is Bhagavatam states this. There's the Muladhara chakra, which is affected by, which affects the prana. There's the Manipurika chakra, which is the mental thing, Anahata chakra, which is the seeing thing, and the Vishuddha chakra, which is verbal. And so all these different, don't ask me to describe it more than that. I'm not a chakra advocate. So all these different things are affected and transformed. In other words, when you chant the holy name, even your physical body becomes transformed. Your life air becomes transformed. And of course, this is mentioned in very simple form by Rupa Goswami. Akita Krishna in the Gita, he says, Brahmapranam Brahma Havir, Brahmano Brahmano Tam, Brahma Tenigantavya, Brahma Karma Samadhi. Has anyone heard that verse before? That means when something is dedicated to spirituality or Brahman, that thing becomes Brahman. The example Krishna gives in the Gita is when you offer the ghee in the fire, the ghee becomes transformed, havir, that's ghee, and it becomes transformed into something spiritual. So when you offer something to Krishna, the sound vibration, the mind, the body, the words, your body, mind, words become transformed. Interesting. And all starts from the sound vibration, from the throat. the sound of the bridge.
Om
Hare Krishna.
Okay,
interesting, isn't it? And this is actually from the purports Bhakti Sananda and other devotees have given on the Brahma Samhita. So Lord Brahma, not much time. Lord Brahma was given these mantras, and specifically he was given what's called the part of the Gayatri mantra. He's given the Kama Beach and also the Gopal mantra, which is mentioned here. I'm not going to read it because that would be initiating. I'd be initiating all of you if I read it. And also this Swaha. Swaha is a wife of Agni. So he's given these mantras by his guru. So that's the process of initiation. The guru gives you the mantra. And as I said, the Hare Krishna mantra is given to us by Prabhupada. So even before initiation, formal initiation, where one sits in a fire, one is actually capable of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. You don't have to wait. The Hare Krishna mantra doesn't wait for formal initiation. Although formal initiation helps one advance in the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, because one is making a formal commitment. And Krishna reciprocates, as Krishna says, they come on the Bhagavate and Sakara Jami. And Krishna reciprocates with one's approach to him. And also Yashara Prasada Varava Prasada. If you please Krishna's representative, then Krishna becomes pleased. So this is how Lord Brahma was initiated. And then he was seen, he saw the spiritual world with Krishna and the cows and the Gayatri mantra, which emanated from the sound of Krishna's flutes. It's the Kama Gayatri, actually. There's different Gayatris. And after entering Lord Brahma's ears, appeared from the four mouths of Lord Brahma, and this was how Lord Brahma got initiated. This is his second birth. Second birth is a name for a Brahmin is Dvija, which means twice born. It's also a name for a bird, because birds are born twice. The egg comes out, and the egg hatches. So Dvija, and that's Lord Brahma's initiation. I don't know if we have any more time today. I think we went on quite a bit. Let's see how much time. I try to cover a lot. Yeah. So any questions or comments before we go on to the 29th verse? So we're actually going to start with the verses on the 29th verse, because those are the verses that you're most familiar with. The other verses are preliminary, and they describe the spiritual world, Krishna's position, and other tattvas or other truths about the Absolute. So, any questions or comments? So, Carter?
Yeah, I have this question. You were mentioning that Krishna's position is that he's supposed to be the Supreme Lord, and he's supposed to be
Krishna's not different from his name.
Yeah.
So, I was wondering, are we somewhat like that? I just kind of had that.
No. Not somewhat. I mean, maybe our spiritual name. But like even the name that I was initiated with. My initiated, Prabhupada gave the initiation in 1972. Let's say in Sanskrit rather than dollar, because you might get confused. Vira Krishna goes, he didn't say books. So that's not my eternal name. And you can chant it all you want, but I'm not there. It's not like, you know, one of my disciples chanted like every day, just Hare Krishna, Swami. Your wish is my desire. Like rubbing the Gladys lamp. No, I'm not in my name. Krishna is in his name. So the material, you know, our names are just temporary designations. In the spiritual world, that is not my name. No. Anyway, we won't say what my name is. Maybe Kamsa or something like that. But it's definitely not Hare Krishna Goswami. So these are temporary. This is not my body. Those bones will not rise again, thank God. I will look differently if I ever get back to the spiritual world, right? So, yes, good question. So, any other questions, quick questions, before we end and we take prasad, we'd like to keep it short. I wish you guys, yeah.
I just
want
to understand,
here
I know the Gayatri Mantra, Krishna became the guru. So, So what's the difference between Krishna and Baladev? Because Baladev, he has his original guru or Jagat Guru.
Yeah. So what's the difference between Krishna and Baladev? Actually, Dvaita Chuta Nadi Radhanta Rupam. There's a verse from Brahma Samhita. Krishna and Balaram are one, they just fulfill certain different functions. It's Krishna, Advaita. There's only one God. So Krishna, Nrsimha, Baladev, Kurma, Matsya, any of these avatars, especially the Vishnu Tattva avatars, they're all the same person, just acting in different ways. And Baladev is considered to be the original spiritual master. Nayamatma Baladhinina. So Lord Brahma's spiritual master was not Krishna directly in Goloka Vrindavan. It was the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, who was an expansion, ultimately Balaram, who was an expansion of Krishna, one of the Chaturruba expansions. So Krishna himself, although Prabhupada said in Gokula Vrindavan on this earth planet, Raj, Krishna's directly the guru, all the residents of Rajavasis. So, anyway, so that's that. Okay, one other question, and then we can take prasad. Any other questions? If not, we want to thank everybody, and 2 weeks from now we'll continue. We'll start with verse 29, which is, one question.
I have a question about you. When you received the mantra from Narayana form, or if Brahma actually saw the 2-handed Krishna form, please correct me.
Or Brahma saw the 2-handed Krishna form.
But he
received. The Gayatri mantra comes from Krishna's flute. And he actually heard Krishna's flute, but he was directly initiated by the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. That's his guru.
Yeah, in Gopal Vrindavan,
Krishna
was
mentioned
directly. So is it right that when Brahma was talking to Narayana, he actually has information about Lord Krishna?
Yes.
And he gets it clarified from Lord Narayana.
Yes, right.
Yeah, I'm receiving this from you.
Yeah.
But are you the same as the Lord Krishna who actually appeared to me before you?
Yes.
So that's when the guy came.
Yes. But there is no difference. Like there's one God and he appears in a variety of ways. So he's saying I'm the same as the Krishna. Krishna in Goloka
Vrindavan. In other words, Brahma actually saw her Krishna.
Yes, he saw Krishna. Very good. Yeah, one more question, Richard.
I was just wondering if you have saw Lord Krishna, then during the past times, when Krishna was playing around with his friends, why did Lord Krishna know who this fall was to Krishna?
This is a pastime. You know, the devotees are sometimes put under yoga maya, where they forget that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, it's a pastime. He wasn't in illusion like we are. But he's God.
I have a question. So, we have Bhavan Vrindavan Gokula here where Krishna manifests. And then in the spirit world, you have Goloka and Gokul. So is Goloka part of the spiritual world where Lord Krishna is like more in the room of Dwarka and Gokul is where more
Gokul? Yeah, in the spiritual world, there's different words that are used, but there's the inner portion, which is the intimate pastimes, and then you have Dwarka and Mathura. And also in Goloka Vrindavan, you have Navadvip, Mayapur, Chinna Mayapur. So the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu get to be in both places simultaneously. Nice. Nice question. Okay. Thank you very much. All glories to His Divine Grace.
A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada has revealed this transcendental knowledge to us by His transcendental mercy.